Good morning. You may be wondering about that scripture reading if you look into the bulletin and see the topic for this morning's sermon, but I promise you it will become clear as time goes on. You know, I heard about a little girl, 9-year-old girl, that was going through a medical reference book, and a mother was noticing she was sitting over in the corner, and every once in a while, as she was thumbing through the pages, she would run outside and then run back inside. And a mother was wondering what is going on with this, with her daughter running outside and inside as she's going through this book. And she came and looked a little bit closer and noticed that what her daughter was doing is running outside and running inside. She came in with a leaf. And on all of those anatomically correct drawings in the book, she was taping little leaves over select spots. And so even at that young age, this girl had some sense of modesty, even looking at a book. And you know, the topic of modesty is something that we need to be reminded of periodically. And I remember when I was growing up, we used to get these sermons about this time of year. And I went to my bookshelf and pulled down, you know, those topical indexes, those topical, and I was looking up and see what scriptures they had on modesty. Would you know that out of three topical indexes, only one of them actually had an entry under modesty? And it's the Old Names Topical Bible's one that had an entry under modesty. And it made me wonder if maybe it's just not a topic that people really talk about so much anymore. And as I was thinking about it, I realized that the difficulty was not in saying we need to be modest, because I think everyone understands that, but the difficulty has always been in defining what modesty looks like. And not everybody always agrees what modesty looks like. And sometimes some of the lessons we've had in the past have become emotional. I remember when I was growing up, one of the guys in our congregation did a modesty sermon, and he pulled out a string bikini and kind of held it up and dropped it to the floor. And of course, there were gasps over the entire audience. And I'm not going to do anything like that. But but I do want to talk about it. And my goal this morning is to encourage you. My goal is to help you, and my goal is to care for you and give you some guidance on this question from God's Word. And I know that all of us want to please God, and if God has something to say about a particular topic, then we want to do what pleases God. And you know, one of the things that occurred to me as I was looking at the typical text that we look at for modesty, 1 Peter chapter 3 and 1 Timothy chapter 2, they're usually aimed at women, but we know that the principles that are being talked about here apply to all people. Modesty applies to all people. And I was looking at the words that are used for modesty in these texts. One of them, one of the words here means a proper, respectable, or modest. And as I was looking it up in the concordance, I realized that same word is also used for elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. And there was this other word that means discreetly, modestly, or reverently. And then another word that means moderation, modesty, or decency. All these words, as you see, are synonyms for each other. But that last one that's used in these modesty texts is also used in the list for elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And so modesty applies to all people, to all Christians, to all people everywhere. I went ahead and I looked, pulled a dictionary and a thesaurus off my shelf, and here are some of the definitions given for modesty. One of them is freedom from conceit or vanity. That's a definition for modesty. Or propriety in dress, not just dress, but also your speech and your conduct. I looked up a list of synonyms, and here are some other words for modesty, or words like decency, humility, propriety, constraint, demureness, and meekness. Opposite of modesty are things like impropriety, boldness, arrogance, conceit, egotism, and pridefulness. And so we look at this list and the definition, we realize, you know, these are principles that apply to people at all places, at all times. And so let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And the first point I think we get from this text is that the source of modesty is the heart. Modesty is first and foremost a matter of the heart. So let's go ahead and read this passage from 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, "Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit which is precious to God." Now I want to highlight that phrase in there where it says, "Let it be the hidden person of the heart." And this may seem kind of a wishy-washy. I know sometimes it's easier just to have an objective standard to say, okay, you know, let's measure inches. You know, anything beyond these beyond this amount of inches is immodest, and so we're going to have an objective standard. I remember when I was growing up going to Bible camp, we did the dollar bill thing. Anybody remember that? You know, you put on shorts and you had to measure the dollar bill from the knee to the bottom of the shorts, and anything shorter than that was immodest. Of course, it depended on how tall you were, right? And so, but that was an objective standard. I mean, there was no question about whether you were it was longer or shorter than that dollar bill. And sometimes people complain, you know, well, these rules are kind of arbitrary. Where in the Bible does it say it has that you have to use a dollar bill to measure whether something's modest or immodest? And it's true, the Bible doesn't give an objective, timeless standard such as that. And there's a reason for that. Because I think all of us understand that when it comes to modesty, it's relative, right? If we lived in other parts of the world, most of us sitting here this morning probably would not be modest in other parts of the world. And so it's different from one generation to the next and from one culture to the next. And so what we have in Scripture are principles of modesty. And this passage points out that it is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. And so what we need to do instead of measuring inches, first of all, is to measure our heart. And I think that's why the passage points out, let it be the hidden person of the heart. And it talks about the qualities that we measure, the gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious to God. And that word gentle is also sometimes translated meek. Meek and gentle, humility. Modesty begins with a meek and humble heart. And you know, immodesty is also a matter of the heart. The heart is very important. So here's my definition for modesty. Modesty is humility expressed in dress. Okay? If you want to define modesty, not in terms of inches, but in terms of the heart, modesty is humility expressed in dress. And so if this is a measurement for modesty, then that means we need to ask ourselves questions such as, what is my motivation for the way that I dress, for the way I arrange my appearance? Is it to reflect the grace and elegance of womanhood? Is it to reflect the honor and dignity of manhood? What statement do I wish to make with the way I arrange my appearance and the way I dress? Am I displaying a meek and humble heart, or am I displaying something else? Whose attention am I trying to get by the way that I dress? And why am I trying to get that attention? And is it precious to God? Pastor, we just read, said that this meek and humble heart is precious to God. Our outer dress is a reflection of our inner heart. So the first thing that we measure when it comes to modesty is our heart. That brings me to the next point. A modest heart governs your appearance. A modest heart governs your appearance. Look at this passage from 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair, gold, pearls, or costly garments, but rather by a means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. Now, I want to zero in on this word, first of all, this phrase here, adorn yourself. And the reason I want to focus on that, because this passage doesn't say be frumpy, okay? Well, you know what it means to adorn yourself, right? It means to make yourself, to arrange yourself and to make yourself attractive. You decorate, when you adorn something, you decorate it, you make it attractive, you make it beautiful. And you know, the Bible has a lot of examples of people that have adorned themselves. The Proverbs 31 woman in Proverbs 31 verse 22 says that the Proverbs 31 woman adorns herself with fine clothing. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 2 says that, talks about how Ruth got herself all dressed up, cleaned up, put on for perfume, because there was this man named Boaz that was going to be a suitable husband for her. And so she adorns herself to get his attention. And then there's Esther. Before she went in to see King Xerxes, she goes through months of beauty treatments. And so she spends all this time at the spa before she goes in to see the king. And Song of Solomon, the woman in the first chapter adorns herself with jewelry, and her man says that's beautiful. beautiful on you. And so there's lots of examples of adorning yourself in Scripture. And so the Scripture is not saying don't adorn yourself, but what it's saying is to adorn yourself properly and modestly. And in the text, it's speaking specifically of not overdressing. Usually when we talk about modesty, we think of underdressing. But in this text, it says don't overdress. And this makes sense. If modesty is humility expressed in dress, then that also applies to especially to overdressing. Flamboyant outfits, flamboyant dressing shows off wealth and pride. It sets you apart from other people. It says, look at me. It's vanity. this is anything but modest if it's humility expressed and dressed. Now, I want to say something about braids. And the reason I want to say something about that, I remember when I was growing up, there was a man in our congregation that actually criticized a girl that came in for wearing braids. He said, you know, you're sinning. I said, why? He said, you're wearing braids. And she just had plain braided hair. And I remember she was really upset by that. But we need to take a closer look at what braids represent, or what they represented. In ancient times, braids were very different. Braided hair was very different than braided hair today. Braided hair today, you may think of Pippi Longstocking or somebody like that, right? But in ancient times, the only women that braided their hairs were the most richest, lavish, flamboyant women of the times, and they would spend an entire day. They would have servants hired specifically to braid their hair, and it would be a very elaborate thing, and it was a status symbol. Ordinary, average women didn't braid their hair. The only people that did that were the wealthiest of the wealthy. And so the problem isn't with braids, but the problem is with what the braids represented. Those weren't godly values. Those were worldly values. And so that's why he says don't braid your hair, along with that other stuff of overdressing. Braids fell in the category of overdressing in those times. And I don't think braids do that nowadays. And so, but so this principle applies, modesty applies to overdressing and also to underdressing as well. The same kind of vanity that says, look at me, with overdressing can apply to underdressing as well, right? And it applies to both guys and girls. You know, like the guy who wears a shirt that's three sizes too small because they're buff and want to say, look at me. And I guess girls do that too. But anyway, it applies to both men and women. And so we need to consider what would be modest and where should we go for fashion tips. Have you ever watched those fashion shows on TV? Yeah. Do you think they're governed by godliness or governed by modesty? In fact, they're governed by something often that's the exact opposite. They want you to be flamboyant. They want you to show off. They want you to strut your stuff. But they use nicer words, you know, like audacious, right? Or daring, or feisty, or sassy. But they want to flatter your appearance. Not everybody, but a lot of them want to flatter your appearance to the point of being ungodly. And then you look at the price tag. You want to talk about something that's obscene on some of these. The price tag's obscene, right? And so if you were to get this outfit, that would definitely be some sort of big status symbol. So that's probably not where we need to turn to get fashion advice. You know, I remember years ago, I met a young woman. There was a bunch of us young people sitting around talking, and I don't remember how the subject of modesty came up, but I remember one of the girls in the group said she was very careful and very conscious when she went out and shopped for clothes. And I still remember her talking about, I've got to look out for my brothers. You know, I don't want to be a cause of stumbling for my... And she was pretty. She was a very nice-looking young woman. But she consciously made a decision not to let Satan use her for bait in order to cause her brothers to struggle and to stumble. And she was one of those people that didn't look to the typical fashion designers that a lot of people consider in today, because she recognized that they don't represent our values as Christian. In fact, if anything, sometimes they may make you think or cause you to think that somehow godliness and modesty is uptight. It's backward. It's out of style, out of touch. And they'll make you think that instead. But there are a lot of designers out there
their value is modesty. And so that's where we need to look. And in fact, one down to the bottom right hand corner, you probably have seen her before. She just started a modest line of clothing. That's Missy Robertson in the bottom. I just heard about that not too long ago. But our appearance should be governed by a godly, modest heart. And so when we go out shopping, we need to ask questions like this. Are my choices governed by a modest heart? Or does God determine my choices? Or is it time for a modesty check? Remember that we are people that are not of the world. Don't buy into the lie that somehow modesty and attractiveness are mutually exclusive. I mean, oftentimes what people think of modesty equals frumpy, and that's anything but the truth. Don't buy into that lie. And sometimes we need to do modesty checks. But where does it start? It starts with the heart. What is my motivation? What is my motivation? And sometimes we need our brothers and sisters to help us out. And here's my encouragement. When our brothers and sisters help us out, that we do it in a godly manner and that we accept it in a godly manner as well. I know we get kind of, you know, emotional about that sort of thing. But we're supposed to look out for one another. So I remember when I was in the military, one of the things we did before an inspection is we would check each other out. We'd make sure all of our pockets are buttoned. We would make sure that our uniforms are clean, that there wasn't anything on it. And we appreciated that. We expected that from one another. And that's, I think, what we ought to do as Christians as well. And my final point this morning is that modesty is based on the gospel. And you may wonder what in the world does the gospel have to do with modesty? But go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want you to notice the verses that we read started with verse 8, or verse 9 actually, likewise. Okay, so if it says likewise, it's pointing back to something that came before that, right? And then if you look at verse 8, it's addressing men. It says, I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. And that begins with the word therefore, which means it's actually pointing back to something before it. So let's go back and see what the therefore is based on. Let's go ahead and begin with verse 3. Of the passage here. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Talking about Jesus as a ransom for our sins, talking about Jesus as our mediator to reunite us with God, he's talking about the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he reunites us with God, and he transforms us. The old self dies, we become a new person and a new self, and that transformation comes from the heart out. And so, therefore, and he gives instructions that even goes to the way that we arrange ourselves and even our appearance. That change happens from the inside out. Part of that newness in Christ is this value of modesty, of this value of moderation, this value of humility and meekness. Look at this passage. All of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And as I was looking at this, for some reason this verse just popped into my head. And I know we're not talking about literal clothing here, but I want you to think about that. When you become a Christian, okay, you put off the old self and you put on the new self. You become a new person in Christ, and I am convinced that you cannot do this. You cannot do this without humility and modesty. Think about the boy who grew up and struggled all the way through school. Okay, and he struggled, and they had to put him on a special education program, and he had tutors and teachers and parents to help him and all kinds of people. And finally, he graduates from school. And he graduates as an honor student. He graduates with good grades, and everybody claps their hand and say, "You did it." And what he does, he says, "You know, I want to thank my parents. I want to thank my teachers. I want to thank my tutors, because they are the ones that helped me get to where I am today."
And somebody might say, oh, you're being modest. And it's true. He is being modest. He is being humble because he recognizes that there were a lot of people involved in helping him to get to where he is today. And it's the same way when we put on Christ. The only reason we can be here today and worship God is because of what Christ has done for us. And that attitude is humility and modesty. Okay, so when we put on Christ, that's the value that we put on because we recognize what Christ has done for us. That's why Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that is modesty. So do you see how the gospel and modesty go hand in hand? All right, so the question this morning I want to ask you as we close this morning is, have you been clothed with Christ? Now, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and if you have not repented and been baptized, and you believe that He died on the cross for your sins and rose from the grave, and you're ready to let Him rule your life, then you're ready today to come to the water. Let Him wash away your sins. And you know when that happens? Your old self goes away. Your old self is washed away, and you put on the new self in Christ. And if you've already done that, and you've already obeyed the gospel, I guess the question simply should be this. Are you still clothed with Christ? Let's examine our heart this morning. Let's examine our motivations. And if there's any changes we need to make in our lives, then let's not put it off another day and make those changes in our lives. I just want to leave you with one final thought. In Christ, we are free. And I want you to think about what that means in the way that we put ourselves forward and even in the way that we arrange ourselves. We don't need to prove ourselves to anybody else. We don't need to try to win the approval of the people of the world. We don't need to try to measure up to the world standards. And by the way, the world standards are impossible. You could say they're too high, but I think if you look at it another way, they're too low. Christ puts us up here. Okay, we've been reunited with God. So don't try and measure up to the world. I am who I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. We're free from what the world wants us to be. And we're free to become all of the glory and the holiness and the beauty that God has created with us from the very beginning. You are magnificent in Christ. And so hold on to that. We're going to go ahead and sing a song this morning. And if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please come as we stand and sing.